back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Now, let me tell you before we go on that we asked our listeners to pose their questions in Question Bank, which is one of the forum areas at forum.theparacast.com. One person asked a couple dozen questions. There's no way we're going to get to all the questions, okay? So that ship has sailed. We can't do it. I'm going to ask a few more, Chris, Will, and then we'll get to some of your questions. We'll try to get to it. Okay, UFO crash retrievals. Now, before we go to Roswell, the reason I'm going to ask the second question is because I had lunch last couple of weeks ago with Scott Ramsey, and Scott and Suzanne Ramsey, along with Frank Warren, worked on a book about the Aztec incident. So before we go on with anything else, Grant Cameron, do you accept Aztec as a real event or just something, a tall tale told of Frank Scully?
I'm undecided. I really don't know one way or the other. I would say if I were to bet, I would say probably not. What I looked at in terms of Aztec was some of the interesting story that came out. For example, and I don't think it's in the book, 1952, Frank Scully gets a letter after he publishes the book. He gets a letter from someone in New York talking about a live alien in New Mexico, that they had captured a live alien. That kind of stuff I find fairly significant, that showed that there was some truth to what's going on. That's the problem with this whole thing, whether it's the Roswell thing, I think is pretty clear. That I would say, yeah, Roswell happened. As to all the other stuff, there's just so much material. You can't tell whether it's disinformation, information. And I really don't deal with that kind of stuff. I don't try to really prove crash retrievals. We just sort of went sort of on the edge of it and tried to deal with people who we thought were involved. Because that's how I started. I had sightings, and I had very close-up sightings in 1975 and 76. After then, I have not had a sighting since. But I basically wanted to know what somebody knew. Somebody had the answer to what I had seen. So I've always been trying to find the guys who have the control rather than to try to figure out which stories are true and which stories aren't. I think there are certain people inside the government and certain people around who know where the bodies are buried, and those are the people I spend my time chasing around.
All right, let's just look very briefly at Roswell, because I think this is one of these crazy cases where a lot of people say, I don't want to hear any more about Roswell. A lot of people say, tell me more anyway. So what about the simple explanation, the simplest, this was just a test aircraft, period. End of story.
A test aircraft. Well, I mean, I think there's 600 witnesses, and I think the vast majority of the people are talking about one thing. I don't think there's really, of those 600 witnesses or whatever it is, people talking about Mogul balloons or test aircrafts. I think you just take the weight of the evidence of the people, that the vast majority of people are talking about something that was probably extraterrestrial, and I think, importantly, involved a live alien.
All right. Why, even if you have 600 people telling you, why assume it wasn't a test aircraft?
Well, the evidence, you have to have some evidence. I mean, it could be one of...
Sure, well, yeah, but you don't have evidence of ET unless you have ET on ice. Why would you think it would be a test aircraft?
Well, because I haven't seen anybody describe a test aircraft.
Well, we would think then if they describe something, they're describing an aircraft that maybe they weren't familiar with, but doesn't make it not a test aircraft.
With bodies?
Okay, that's one where it's disputed, but do we assume then that we're accurate about the live alien? Because that is where, obviously, things diverge.
Well, I think if you've got up to 12 cases of people describing a live alien, I think it looks pretty good that there probably was a live alien. I look at things very simply, that, you know, you take a look at what people say, and if people are saying one thing, you take that as your working hypothesis. It may not, in the end, be true, but, I mean, it seems to be more and more people describing one thing, and nobody describing test aircraft, and nobody describing Mogul balloon, and, I mean, those are possibilities, but you have to have some evidence. You can't just
Are you familiar with Joseph Farrell? I mean, he's come up with quite a bit of interesting documentation, and he's kind of drawn lines between the dots there a little bit that does support some sort of terrestrial craft as a possibility to explain the Roswell incident.
No, I haven't studied that. I mean, I can look at it and see, but right now I haven't seen, I mean, it's always the thing we throw, you know, all sorts of alternate explanations, because it's like anything but alien, as, you know, as Stanton says. We're trying to find some rational explanation to make it something other than what it appears to be.
Well, I do really strongly recommend Joseph Farrell's work. He has three or four books that go into all the permutations that would actually it definitely, at least in my mind, lays out a very good case that deserves attention. But we should move on, don't you think, Gene? We've got a lot of questions here.
Indeed. I just wanted to cover that very briefly. But, okay, crash retrievals in general, other than Roswell, since you're not accepting the possibility at this point that maybe Aztec involved anything, is there any other crash retrieval of note that we have to seriously consider?
I think you look at what I presented in the book, that in 1950 the Canadians went to the Americans. They went to the Canadian Embassy in Washington, D.C. Frank Scully's book on the crash at Aztec had come out, and Major Kehoe's book on UFOs had come out, and the Canadians made inquiries through the military attaché at the Canadian Embassy asking American officials, is this for real? There's one of the only respected top-secret documents in the UFO world. The Canadian government does not deny this is not a top-secret document. It is not a legitimate document. It is not what we say it is. And in that document, the Canadians are told, through the military attaché, flying saucers exist. It's the most highly classified subject in the United States. It's of tremendous significance. And a group headed by Vannevar Bush is running the show. That's basically what the Canadians are told. The document is filed in Canada. And so right from the word go, it appears that everybody knew right from the word go what was going on. The Canadians knew.
Okay,
Canadians
yes, but knew. What other crash retrieval episode are we talking about?
Well, we don't know. All we know is what was in the top secret document, which is not a disputed document. We do,
other
for example,
than, okay, but specifically, other than Roswell, what other place? What city, what date, what time?
Well, we don't know. All we have is what we have, is a top-secret document that says it's for real. And the Canadian...
yeah, but just saying it's for real doesn't prove there was another crash retrieval.
It says that the flying saucers is real. Now, there's a story that Wilbur Smith, that all his people working with Wilbur Smith, the government people working with him, there was a rumored story that Smith had been shown a craft outside of Washington, and that he had seen the craft and he'd seen the bodies. Now, where that came from, who knows? I just questioned his son, and Jim, who was the oldest son, and I said to Jim, did your father ever tell you that story? And he said, yes, my father told me that story just before he died. He confirmed to me, yes, that he had seen the craft and he had seen the bodies. And then I said, were they grays? And he said, no. As far as I know, my father just said they were what was being described at the time, little people. So, I mean, where the craft came from, who knows? I mean, I'm just tracking the high-level people, what the high-level people are dealing with. When it comes to details, you get into the same mishmash of trying to prove this person said this person said that. You're very almost never going to prove that there's a crash, but you are going to be able to look at different aspects of what government people are saying, the whole story about the Blue Room thing. You can take the George Knapp story, where he has this high-level witness, where the guy basically, George Knapp tracks this guy down. He says, if this guy knows, he's one of the top guys from EG&G that started the whole thing, he says, if this story's true, this guy will know. And he gets to know the guy, and he told this story on your show. He gets to know the guy, he goes to meetings where this guy's at, and he basically makes friends with this guy. The guy invites him to his house to look at test site photographs with doing the nuclear stuff that was done up there. And he gets there and he says to George, he says, you didn't come here to talk about the nuclear test site, did you? And George says, no, I didn't. And he said, you came to talk about UFOs, didn't you? And George said, yeah. And George said it took 6 months, meetings in the morning, breakfast meetings, lunch meetings. He wasn't allowed to take notes. He wasn't allowed to tape. He'd run out of the meetings and write down what this guy had said. And basically, and this comes to George Knapp's respectability and his reputation in the UFO field, the guy said, yes, it's all true. Absolutely all true. Back engineering the crafts. And then George says, what, you're back engineering this stuff? Were you afraid the story was going to get out? And the guy said, no.
We have so much more to talk about. As you see, a single question may elicit 100 more. And where do we go from here? Grant Cameron joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
A Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for the enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Radio advertising on GCN, the Genesis Communications Network, is simple, affordable, and reaches millions. How do we do it? Let's break it down. First, the simple part. You tell us about your business. Then our expert radio copywriters write your copy. We hire professional voice talent.
Hello there. I'm a professional announcer.
And then produce your ad with just the right music and feel. Voila! Simple. How affordable? 60-second ads on GCN are the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And that brings us to reach. Millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 700 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. That's it. A one-stop shop. Creative radio ads. Very affordable rates. Millions of potential customers and customer service that can't be beat. See our current list of satisfied advertisers at GCNLive.com. Then shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
For years, you've been hearing about Herbal Healer Academy and how it's remained the leader in effective, alternative, and natural medicine and education. But how can they continue to hold that title for years on end? The answer is high quality and huge selection. Just visit herbalhealer.com and shop online or request a free catalog. You're bound to find the alternative you're looking for. Did you know that Herbal Healer carries the latest, safest, and effective weight loss products? You can also count on Herbal Healer for the largest selection of safe and natural supplements just for children. And don't forget your pets. Herbal Healer even has natural mineral supplements for all your animals, including horses, cows, and birds. Take a peek at their online calendar, and you're sure to find everything you need and maybe something you didn't realize you needed. Visit HerbalHealer.com and don't forget to sign up for the free Herbal Healer newsletter. HerbalHealer.com, working with the power of nature.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Chris is taking on his E.T. voice, ladies and gentlemen. Or is that the trickster voice, or is that the djinn voice? I don't know.
No, that was the knowing insider voice.
Grant Cameron joining us, the book UFOs, Area 51, and Government Informants. So many thousands of questions to ask here, and as I said,
yeah,
we're not
going to... Yeah, well, I have a real good one, Gene, from Conrad Hartman that is right, perfectly timed here. Might it be possible, Grant, that the Roswell event was either staged by the government elements, or if there was an actual ET crash, or sufficient public belief in one, maybe this is being exploited by these government elements as a psychological experiment to study the following: the ability to introduce information or disinformation to the population through unofficial routes, the flow of that information, how it travels and who communicates it, how the information changes in the retelling, the extent to which information can be manipulated after it's been released. As a test, testing the level of internal security of Air Force or other organizational personnel. Good question.
Sure. That's part of it. Sure. That they do track how people are reacting to stuff. They did lots of psychological tests related to various things. Sure, that's part of it. But it still comes down to, are you going to go through this whole elaborate thing for 65 years to test something that could backfire on you? The Area 51 story is an example of how it backfired, where they gave it to Bob Lazar. As I point out in the book, when Bob Lazar went to EG&G for the interviews in November of 1988, the first question in the second interview is, what's your relationship to John Lear and what do you think about him? So before Bob Lazar ever went on the test site, they knew that he knew John Lear. And so they take him up to the test sites. Whatever he saw at the test site, you can't believe anything of what he saw at the test site, even though he passed the lie detector test. He's just describing what he saw.
He could have been totally set up for that.
Sure. And yeah, and that's my contention in the book, is that he was set up. So they got this material. They wanted the idea that they had the back engineering stuff at Area 51, and they had the live alien at Area 51, and they wanted that to get out. Because what they do is they use people who have backgrounds where it's questionable. So they knew that...
Well, psychological profiling can identify these people fairly easily.
Yeah, so they know that Lazar is going to go back and give this stuff to John Lear. And what they figure, because at that time, John Lear had just gotten in the UFO thing, he'd gotten in the MJ-12 thing, and he's running around with the Bill Cooper stuff. And he was talking about the underground bases.
Well, and the Lear hypothesis, let's don't forget.
Yeah, so all this crazy stuff. So who better to give the material to than John Lear? The material will come out that we've got crafts at Area 51 and we've got a live alien. Everybody's going to say, oh, John Lear said it. He's kind of a crazy guy. And it's going to be a three-day news cycle. It's going to die like the Chase Brannon story. The idea is going to get out, and nobody's going to question it. What they didn't realize was that George Knapp was going to get authorization from his boss at KLS-TV and said, get to the bottom of this story. And that's when it started to go south on them. And the story started to take off, and Billy Goodman had his radio show, and they had buses going up into the hills to look over Area 51. And suddenly the security, the whole base was under attack. They had to take more land to move people farther away so they couldn't look at this kind of stuff. And George Knapp started to get all these witnesses. And I believe he told this story on your show as well, where he gets all these witnesses. And I just had breakfast with him a couple weeks ago in Las Vegas, and he was telling me the story again. And he said, unless you were there, unless you were actually involved in this thing, you cannot believe how real this thing was as it was happening. And he talks about the six witnesses back to back to back to back, where a woman, for example, who worked for one of the contractors who Knapp had tracked down, she was going to go on camera. She had been involved when they were moving the material from the blue room at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. They were moving the crafts, the bodies, whatever, to Area 51. He has her. She's going to go on camera. She gets a visit the very morning she's going to go on camera, and they come to her and they say, we just want to remind you, you got a security clearance. We know you visit your daughter in Los Angeles. We'd hate to have an accident in the desert. And Knapp says she goes down, and one after another, six witnesses in a row who all telling the same story, all get threatened, and nobody will go on camera. And he said that's the part that really impressed him, was that unless you were there, you saw how this was happening, that there was a reaction to what was going on here, and this thing was true. And people will say, the story relies on Lazar, he's got a bad background, and so the story's not true. You don't need Lazar. You don't need any of that part of the story. All you need
that just creates plausible deniability.
Yeah, so all you need is George Knapp, who had, most people don't know, had over two dozen other witnesses that confirmed all the same stuff that Lazar was talking about. He got it from all different other sources. So the story is true, but they used this guy who had a bad background. It's irrelevant. It's basically trying to figure out what the story is, and it comes down to the number of witnesses. That if George Knapp tells me he's got two dozen plus witnesses who basically say this story is true, I take that based on his respected position in journalism as that's probably going to be the true story.
That leads me to a really good question from Joey K22, who's a longtime poster at forum.theparacast.com, and he asks, if a Roswell or Kecksburg type crash happened today, would the government be able to contain information from the site, assuming there are witnesses, given that in today's world we have instant communication, the internet, digital phones, cell phones, digital photography. What would happen if we had an actual crash today? How do you think the government would handle that?
I think the government's got this absolutely 100% under control. I mean, there is something where if something crashed in the middle of a city or something, I think they've got it all under control. I don't think they really worry too much about being able to control. I mean, you're talking about this one scenario that might get out of hand, but I think basically they're not too worried about the control of the actual evidence and the crash type stuff. I think they've got it pretty well perfected. That's just my personal opinion.
Yes, but if something like this happened in not even a populated area, a small town like in Aztec, New Mexico, and there's a crash, the blogosphere, the Twitter generation, and the Facebook generation would be all over it, and before the government could get out there, you'll have tens of thousands of people lining up to see what went on.
Well, there have been these incidents, Chag Harbor in Canada.
We're talking about something that's very different.
Okay, but you're talking about the ultimate scenario where they can't really control it. But they can seal off a site. There's all sorts of stories that have been out there that, you know, there was a crash here, a crash there, and someone saw this, someone saw that. I've heard piles of these stories, and it always comes down to the fact that you have a 3-day news cycle. You have nobody in the media who could care less about this subject. They are not going to do it, and unless you get George Knapp, who worked on this story for 6 to 8 months, you're not going to get it. Let's take the Chase Brannon story. Prime example. Here's a guy, 42 years in the CIA, the second most powerful person inside the CIA, other than the director of the CIA, to speak on behalf of the CIA in public, comes out and says, Roswell is real. It involved bodies. It went Huffington Post. Lee Spiegel put it on, got 1.5 million hits in a couple of days. And I had on my website, you could see this dropping like a stone. The numbers were dropping. Nobody picked it up. Spiegel went off and did a story about the British releasing UFO documents. He goes on to the next thing. And that's the problem, is that you can get a story and it'll go, but it will not gain any momentum because the main people in the media who control the thing aren't really interested in the story, and it will never get any footage. The Chase Brannon story is the prime example. It died. It was, you figure like, wow, nobody questioned the guy. Nobody went after the story. It just, in 3 days, it was over and everybody was on to the next story. And that's one of the problems we have in ufology, is we're always trying to chase the next story. We're looking for the Messiah. We're looking for the person who has all the answers. We're looking for that ultimate case that's going to break it. So the Jerusalem video comes out and everybody chases after the Jerusalem video and then say, oh, that's a hoax. And they chase after the next thing. And they've got us running. And everybody's just running after the next case. Nobody's actually doing any research. Everybody thinks that there's one case that's going to break it all, and everybody's waiting for it, and I say it's not going to happen.
Okay. Grant Cameron joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Your freedoms are on the line. The Second Amendment is in danger. How soon before your freedoms are taken away? What can you not live without? What is your greatest dependency? Is it your guns? Is it your home? No, it's food. It all boils down to the food supply. Tyrannical governments control people by controlling their food supply. Don't be dependent. Be self-sufficient. Don't wait for the government to feed you. Feed yourself. I can warn you, but I can't feed you. Do like Alex has done and get a supply of food from eFoods Direct. It's the best long-term long-term storable food on the planet. Get the popular Mega Patriot Pack free, a 24-day supply of food plus stove, cook pot, and fuel. Call 800-250-1857 or go to efoodsdirect.com/Alex and get up to 20 Mega Patriot Packs free with purchase. Build your food supply, be in control, be self-sufficient, and be a patriot. Call 800-250-1857 or efoodsdirect.com/Alex and get your free Patriot Pack today.
Ceramic body armor is rated to stop six hits. But what about the seventh? Unlike ceramic or Kevlar, Infidel body armor is proven to take hit after hit, and it just won't quit. Reasonably priced and designed for the smart civilian prepper, Infidel stops hundreds of hits from small arms to high-powered rifles. That means safety and peace of mind. Buy yours at InfidelBodyArmor.com. Spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. On placing a silver dollar in a book explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Are you or someone you love struggling with stress, anxiety, or less than perfect health? Hi, this is Pastor Jenny, and as a woman of faith, I spent many years in ministry burdened with anxiety and fear. But in 2010, I met Dr. Carolyn Dean, and I took her recommendation to try RNA drops. Within days of taking RNA drops, my anxiety began to lift. My joy was restored, and the peace of mind that I would have once called a miracle has now become normal to me. Discover what RNA drops can do for you. Order your free sample today at www.rnafreesample.com. That's rnafreesample.com. There you can order a free 30-day trial-size bottle of RNA drops by paying just shipping and handling. That's www.rnafreesample.com. Maybe there's a miracle waiting there for you.
Hello, this is Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Grant, you crack me up, man, and you're so right.
With Gene and Chris in the Paracast, talking to Grant Cameron. Now, there's one thing, though, about that question. Yeah, if a talking head, even from the CIA, says something, okay, it may disappear from the news cycle. I am talking about the actual event. It's not going to be so easy with the actual event. That's going to bring some coverage. It has to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, you could take stories like now. It depends who gives it out. I mean, you've got Stephen Greer running around now with an alien and says he's got this alien and they're doing the DNA tests. And, I mean, is that thing taken off?
Well, yeah, but, you know, Stephen Greer, I don't think people believe anymore.
Exactly. So it comes down. Everybody's going to have an excuse. This guy's got this problem. This guy's got that problem. And we'd kill the story. In ufology, doesn't matter what the story is. We'll kill the story.
Well, that leads me to another question from Conrad Hartman, and that is, Stephen Greer has experienced severe criticism in some paranormal discussions. Do you think he's been treated fairly? What is your opinion of his work?
No, I don't think he's been treated fairly. I know back in the 1970s when we were working on the thing, one of the things that always people sort of laugh at him is he does these CE5 things out in the desert and he's flashing lights at him and doing all this kind of stuff. I know from fact back in 1975, 76, long before Stephen Greer was around, we had these objects very close. We had a number of very close encounters. This is a flap that went on in the town for about a year and a half, almost every night. We're flashing lights, and let me tell you, it works. I mean, it's, and we have other cases of people stuff. So I think he's been treated, in all the stuff I've done, I've dealt with his stories in terms of the Clinton administration, because my expertise was the president's. He's told the truth every single time. Basically, people who...
He embellishes and overstates things.
His
dinner with Woolsey is a classic example. But Grant, let me back you up on one thing here. I was the one that turned Stephen Greer onto Crestone, where he's had more of his, I think, 19 years running. He's had his CE5 trainings there. Yeah. And back when I was there in the 90s, I'm telling you, every time he showed up and started flashing his lights around, we had sightings all around the valley. But they tended to be everywhere but in Crestone where he was flashing the lights, interestingly enough.
Well, the C5 thing is, I mean, that's something. The Wolseley thing, I say, absolutely true. Absolutely. He was dead on. John Peterson had followed him around the country to four different lectures. John Peterson had contacted him in Colorado and said, I've got someone you got to meet. He's the one that set up the meeting. That was all true. And then later on, they make the denial. They say, oh, it's not true. He's lying. And then Peterson gets caught a second time. He gets caught telling the story to Catherine Austin Fitz, the same thing. And then it was like, oh, Catherine Austin Fitz is lying about this thing about there's live aliens among us and all the stories that she told. And she wasn't even in ufology. She was a prominent person, but she basically backed up the fact that Peterson was covering for himself. I disagree. I think that the material that he has, I went and got all the material from the Clinton Library. When he said that he provided this material to Clinton, the briefing material, I saw it all. It's there. There's 900 pages of this material. He was putting a lot of material in the Clinton administration. And you can spin the thing about, you know, the fact that he'll spin the stuff, yes, that he's egotistical, but I say you got to separate the fact that he's a total idiot, that he's egotistical, from what he's actually saying. I mean, because...
Well, that's true. Nobody is actually suggesting that Stephen Greer hasn't really busted ass and really come up with some amazing
results. For example, Leslie Kane criticized him greatly. She was working for him, and the thing was he didn't vet his witnesses right and all this sort of stuff. And then she comes out with her book, which is very prominent, that gets great reviews, and basically all she did was take his disclosure witnesses, the ones that she respected and went through, and took his material and put a book out on it. It was basically the same thing. So he's getting criticism from one side, and yet people are using his witnesses. And the whole thing about the other problem that he had that I disagree with, people say, well, he didn't vet his witnesses. Well, anybody who's been in the field knows. I mean, if you've got 400 witnesses and you got to spend $20,000 to vet a witness, nobody in the UFO community has got that kind of stuff. So I think it's not proper to get him for not going through all 400 witnesses and spending, you know, $15 million making sure that every T was crossed and every I was dotted when it comes to the witnesses. It's a tough go to get a witness, even one witness, is to try to vet one to see whether you're being set up is a problem. So I think he's been treated unfairly, although he sort of, the way he treats people and the way he deals, I think he's got a lot of it coming to himself.
You know, the grandstanding, the self-aggrandization, some of the ego issues. I told him back in 93, point blank, in front of some very high-heeled people, Rockefeller's right-hand man, Bootsy Galbraith, Sandy Wright, some real high-powered people in the room. And I told him, Stephen, you got to understand, your message is more important than you are. And I had to repeat it three times because he didn't get it.
He doesn't seem to still get it because he's still promoting himself.
I'll still say that today, sure, that you cannot assume the mantle of the Messiah and self-appoint yourself as the ambassador to the universe and train people and charge them copious amounts of money and expect to be taken seriously. That denigrates all the good work that you're doing, and it really is unfortunate.
Well, I totally agree with that. And in the ufology, there's no money. So the people who want the ego are the people who push. That's all there is in ufology is ego, because there's really no money. And I go back to when you compare him, you got to compare everybody else. That any high level, really high level thing where somebody gets to the top of a field, they're usually as egotistical as he is. I mean, you take the presidents. I mean, they're just, you have to have an ego. Just like unbelievable ego to get there, because you can't take the criticism by the time you get to be the president. That,
well, you have to be either made of Teflon or have a Teflon, you know, coating, or be made of cast iron or tensile steel.
Yeah. So, I mean, I agree with a lot of what you're saying on Greer. When it comes to his actual, is he telling the truth? I think the vast majority of times he's telling the truth, but he's spinning it to his own self-aggrandizement, I guess you could call it.
Okay. Well, here's a question from Slightly Above Par, who's one of our he's almost celebrating a year as a poster at forum.theparacast.com.
I like that name, Slightly Above Par.
I love it, yeah. Okay. I think I resemble that remark.
Well, of course you do, as do I. I'm actually slightly below par because I never learned golf. Oh, forget it.
Well, I'm a bogey golfer, so it works for me. Have you ever investigated any well-known UFO crash claims only to find out that they were conclusively fiction or readily explained as terrestrial? And he says, don't get me wrong, I think there have been real UFO crashes. However, I'm left wondering if any of the Sacred Cow examples are more fiction than fact. Of course, you know, we can leave Roswell and I think Aztec aside because we've already pretty much discussed them. But are there any other crashes that you feel people have taken as being legitimate that you pretty much concluded that they're fiction?
And before you answer that, Grant, before you answer that,
okay.
You have about a minute or a minute and a half, so you can start your answer in this segment, and then feel free to pick it up in our next. Go ahead, please.
Okay, the only one that I can think of, as I said, I really haven't worked too much on crashes, interviewing people's crashes. There was one outside of Ottawa, Canada, that Bob Exler was pushing a number of years ago. That one.
Oh, is that the Guardian case? Or?
The Guardian. I think the Guardian case. That one, there was all this excitement. I sort of chased that. The one example I can sort of give you is I did do the Scully thing. I went and found, because I knew Scully had moved his files to the University of Wyoming. I went to the University of Wyoming. I looked through probably 10,000 pages of material, and there was really nothing there that was concrete that backed up the Aztec thing. I was looking for the names of the eight scientists. I was looking for, you know, some letter, except for this alien, live alien letter. There was really nothing in the files that really showed that he had anything secret outside what he put in the book. So I was kind of disappointed in that.
Yeah. So many questions, so little time. I'll tell you. The book, by the way, is called UFOs, Area 51, and Government Informants. It's a report on government involvement in UFO crash retrievals, but it looks like there aren't too many crash retrievals to stick your teeth into, or maybe there are, and we just don't know about it. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com. So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Want something different from your detox? Then you want Hemp USA's Microplant Powder for a full-body detox. With 7 formulations and 8 different sizes, you will feel and see the difference. And the best part? It's only about $10 a month. Our customers love it, and we ship worldwide. Get the detox difference. Get Microplant Powder from HempUSA.org. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at HempUSA.org.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only 2 documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
With Gene and Chris in the Paracast, we're talking to Grant Cameron. We have roughly 5 segments to go for this episode, and we're not going to get to all the questions, but we're going to mow through them and see what we can do. Chris?
Okay. This is from Blabby Boy, and I'll tell you, he definitely, Grant, sets a record for the number of questions in a single post for a single guest. There's a bunch of crash retrieval ones here. I think the subtitle is kind of giving people a little bit of a target to focus on here. But you know, basically, I think I'm going to try to sum up several of these questions into one question, which has to do with the question of crash retrievals. But basically, I think what he wants to know is, does the U.S. actually recover craft from across the globe? Or is this, you know, primarily something that they do only in U.S. territory? And then where do they take them? I mean, what do we actually really know about government involvement in crash retrievals? From what I'm hearing from you, we really don't know much. There's very little besides Roswell. We don't really have smoking gun evidence. Of course, you know, Len Stringfield's work suggests that there have been a number of crashes around. But again, a lot of the evidence that he purports what was the name of the red? What was the name of the Len Stringfield book?
Situation Red.
Situation Red. Right.
Yeah.
A lot of those are equivocal. I mean, there's no real smoking gun evidence that any of those events really happened. So, what do you think about this idea of the government having a crash retrieval team running around the globe, buying off people, you know, putting a blanket of secrecy and security around these crash sites? Do you think any of these things are actually touted as ET craft when it's actually our own technology?
Okay.
What sort of diversionary tactics do they use? What do we actually know?
Okay, let me deal with it's quite a few questions. The Virginia one, this is not in the book, but I worked on it as part of the presidential research. There was Warren Christopher. There was a story that Warren Christopher had gone to Brazil for the Virginia thing, and that they had put an astronaut on the space shuttle in exchange for the bodies and the
really. I never heard stuff. That Warren Christopher,
yeah.
Huh?
And everything checked out except he was there. They did put the astronaut on the space shuttle. Everything seemed to check out, but when it comes to the real document of the discussions, all this kind of stuff. It was still came down to just rumor. When it comes to crashes, the one that we do have in the book that was kind of significant, in the book we deal with Dr. Eric Walker, who is, I think, very important. He had come across through the Canadians. The Canadians had talked to a scientist, and this scientist had squealed on Dr. Eric Walker, and Stan Friedman had interviewed this guy, and through that interview, we came across Dr. Eric Walker, who was a former president of Penn State University for 15 years. He was chairman of the board of the Institute for Defense Analysis, the top military think tank in the United States, chairman of the National Science Foundation, just 14 honorary doctorate degrees, just unbelievable background. And in Walker's situation, there was a very bizarre sort of case that happened in terms of Stanton Friedman tried to interview him a number of times, and he really didn't tell Stanton very much, except in one interview he said to Stanton, he says, look, I don't talk about this subject. It's not something I want to talk about. He said, I haven't been involved in this for 25 years. And this interview took place in 1990. When we were looking at this material, I went 1990, 25 years, 1965. He lives in State College. Penn State is at State College. Kecksburg, Pennsylvania is about 100 miles away as the crow flies. Dr. Eric Walker had a pilot's license. They had a pilot training thing at Penn State University. And I'm thinking, what's the chances that he was at Kecksburg? So an interview was done with Dr. Walker. And this is after the book was released the first time. It wasn't in the original book. And the question was to him was, Dr. Walker, we don't know if this has to do with UFOs, but we just want to, I want to ask you the question, were you at Kecksburg, Pennsylvania in December of 1965? And Walker said, yeah, I was there. And I was there with two military people off duty. And then he said, well, can you tell us, was it a UFO? And he said, you keep asking that question. I said, I'm not going to talk to you about this. So we got this sort of indication that Walker had actually flown on the Friday night to Kecksburg, Pennsylvania. Later on, and we had gotten a hold of his son, because he had all his material. He had an office at Penn State University. And later on, we talked to his son, and his son confirmed that, yes, there had been a file, because we knew he had a file because he was sort of sending one letter to somebody and photocopying letters. We knew he was keeping a file on all these different researchers around the world who were trying to get him to talk. And so we were looking for this file. So we went to his son, and his son says, yes, there was a file, and it was at the house. It wasn't at Penn State. It was at the house, and I remember seeing it. And in that file, I didn't really read the details. And his son was a medical doctor. He said there was description of a crash in Pennsylvania and one in the West, but I really didn't read the details of it. When my father died, when I transferred the rest of the files from the house to Penn State University, the file was gone. So Walker had congestive heart failure. He knew he was dying, and I guess he cleared it out at the end. So that was one of the cases where it was sort of this roundabout thing that sort of indicated that, yes, there was some truth to these crash reports, that Walker had been called in, and it gave me the indication that he knew what was going on in the early days. When he was first asked about MJ-12, that's when he made this statement. This is 1987. Bill Steinman interviews him. He's asked about the MJ-12 document, which had just been released in Washington by Moore, Friedman, and Chandray. And that's at that point he says, look, I've known of them for 40 years. Leave it alone. There's nothing you can do about it. You're up against the windmills. And basically took that position. So we knew that he was sort of claiming that he'd known about the MJ-12, that he was there at the beginning when this was all coming together. But when we had this interview about Kecksburg, it seemed to indicate that these people are out of it. In fact, he would say, I had other things to do in my life. You know, this wasn't the only thing I was doing. I had more important things to do. So when something would happen in the area, they would have people who knew what to do. They'd be called in for one day, 2 days, sort of on contract, and then go back to their regular lives. And that's what I think in terms of this question of that. I think there may be a team that does this kind of stuff, but there are people all over the place that are brought in, who are trusted, who have security clearances, and they move them in, they move them out, and they only have action or involvement maybe once every 25 years. That's what we learned from Walker.
Well, do we have any indication that we have any other hotspot areas? This is another question from Blabby Boy. Any other crashes that may have some smoking gun sort of facts to bolster the claims that these events have occurred?
Well, I didn't get into the actual crashes. I was dealing more with the people that I think were dealing with the crashes. There was an interesting story. You're talking about the fact that, you know, how they could not seal off an area. And I tell the story, I don't think it's in the book, but Paul Hellyer actually tells the story in his book. He got it from me, and this came from my father. My father worked for the Department of Transport. He was a pilot for the Department of Transport here in Canada, and he worked for the same organization that Wilbur Smith, who ran the Canadian Government Flying Saucer Program, worked for. And he had told me about a story about the accident investigation team in the Department of Transport was in my father's office. And they told about a story. This happened in Canada along the Saskatchewan-Manitoba border in 1959. They had seen this thing coming down on radar. They had tracked the thing, and they had given the alert. And the guy that was in the office my father talked to, who went out, arrived on the scene, and he said when he got on the scene, they didn't know what this thing was. They thought it was a U-2, but they weren't sure. When he got on the scene, there was a bunch of U.S. military people surrounding the object. And this guy said, I'm here on behalf of the Canadian government. I'm an accident investigation guy, and I'm going to be investigating the site. And apparently this guy had a rifle or whatever and stuck it his stomach and said, get out of here, boy. And he said, no, you don't understand. I'm here from the Canadian government. This is our jurisdiction. This is Canada. We are here to investigate this accident. And he said, sorry, turn around and leave, sir. So he went and he made a phone call, and they phoned Ottawa, which is the capital, the Department of Transport in Ottawa, and they described the whole situation. The Americans have got something surrounded on the ground here, and they're refusing us authorization to go onto the site. And they said, hang on. They phone them half an hour later. The headquarters in Ottawa phones back and says, leave them alone. Let them do what they're doing. And that was the end of it. And we don't even know. We just believe it was a U-2 that had crashed. It had come over. They saw it coming over the poles. The radar picked it up. But we don't know what it was that the Americans recovered in Canada. So I think they have the capability to surround this stuff. I think they beat the Canadian investigators to the scene, and it wasn't even their country. So I think they have. But in terms of any specific crash, I really haven't worked on, you know, trying to prove a crash was a crash. I've been more interested in the people who I think were dealing with the material and the places where they took it and how they've handled it at the government level.
That's intriguing. That's very intriguing. But we've got to do the break now, so stand by.
Okay.
So many more questions from that one guest. We're talking to Grant Cameron. You're on with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
I have bought a few bottles of Heart and Body Extract and have to say that it certainly does work.
That's what Jack from Michigan had to say after his experience with heart pain and what he did to treat it with Heart and Body Extract.
I actually had a huge heart flutter. I was also having some edema around my ankles and very worrisome clot in my right leg that would happen from time to time while I was trying to sleep.
Heart and Body Extract is all natural with no negative side effects. It will help repair or correct past problems associated with the heart and body circulation.
After my second bottle of Heart and Body Extract, all problems are now gone.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
I ordered a third bottle of Heart and Body Extract for maintenance as I want to keep everything working.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.